Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. You've tuned in one more time to Grassroots Up. I'm your host, Showtime, better known as Dr. Alan Brown. In some circles, I've been called even worse than that. However, since this show is not about me, I just want to welcome every one of you to our show. It looks like the switchboard is already lit up with people who have already started calling in to listen to our show. Well, thank you very much. This particular segment of Grassroots Talk is actually about Dr. Aranda, and she's also known more so in most circles in our social media as Reverend, and I have to get used to that because most of my colleagues are doctors, so, but I think we'll get past that part. Small semantics there. However, I'd like to say hello to Dr. Aranda as I get used to that. So I think she's there on the line. Let me click this and say, welcome to the show, Doctor. How are we doing?
Thank you so much. And it's such a blessing to be here. And how wonderful that you have lights lit up. It sounds like a party.
Well, last week we were broadcasting from, I think it was Redondo Beach or Torrance here in sunny California, but it wasn't sunny. And we still have somewhat of an overcast, but the sun is trying to come out today and tomorrow, but that's another story. But we're delighted here to be speaking to you today. I see that there are other callers, our guests on the line, that are listening, as well as those who pick up later on through their own internet connections and social media. I want to thank you for your effort. Let me do this quick commercial so we can go ahead and dive into this, okay? Our show is being brought to you by GRC Community, a nonprofit organization that has been designed to assist youth in their transition from childhood to adulthood, the families that also help make them whole. I've been doing this probably all of my life in one way or another, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. However, today's topic, I don't know if you noticed, sometime over the last 3 or 4 hours, I made an adjustment in the topic of today, but like a warrior that you are, I'm sure you can handle this. Today's topic is called Why Me, and it was about persecution. You know, there was a young man who walked the face of this earth, and he was called God's Son. You know, that's a heavy title. And but he was getting persecuted and jacked left and right. And I'm sure he kind of had a little attitude from time to time and asked the same question, why me? My question for you this morning, Doctor, is taking a look at many people who call themselves walking the walk, who can talk the talk and quote every scripture that there is known to be in writing. However, when things don't seem to be going their way, they then turn around and start saying, well, why me? Instead of recognizing that, yes, some of these things are going to happen anyway, but I'm not the authority on that. Let you share your view and your learned opinion of this thing.
I just lost.
We'll work with the rest of the world. We need to get on the bandwagon. But when we talk about why me, look at that. Okay, so what do you got?
Well, you bring up a great point. And actually, I was on Google Plus last night as a guest being interviewed by a show called What's the Positive? And they had me on there because I've been through the traumatic brain injury and the car accident, and I had a near-death experience, and I believe in God, and I accept Christ as my personal Savior, and I preach the gospel. And they basically were asking me, well, why do you think this happened to you? And what do you think you got out of it, or why you, and what's positive? And then every so often, somebody would step and say, look, she's smiling. She's smiling all the time. She's been smiling for an hour. And people say that about me all the time. I'm always smiling.
Because, wait a minute. After all this, what do you got to smile about?
Being alive for one more day, opening my eyes and knowing what my name is, being able to talk, being able to speak, being able to stand up and take a few steps without fainting. I'm happy to know that I have a place in this life, and that God is using me as a physician patient to understand what millions of patients go through, and to be an advocate and a voice for them. Because I don't think are many other doctors in this world that have been through what I've been through, and the grueling fire twice with the second traumatic brain injury, and know what it feels like to be a pincushion and have a 1,000 needles go in you when you're dehydrated and you have no veins and nobody can start an IV on you.
So, while each person's pain is unique to them, I always let people know, don't compare yours to somebody else. Because somebody's pain may be just a fear of walking the street, and another one is a fear that be able to walk again, but you still can't compare it. So when we take a look at people who are in pain, and they're asking themselves, why me? What should they really be asking? What is the real question?
Well, let me answer that question by giving you two answers because I'm all about solutions. Well, this is a problem.
Okay.
What is the solution? Right? So the problem is that people feel that they're in a trial, they're in a storm, their life is going, they're at the bottom of the pit, and they don't see a way out. And one of the things that they need to realize, and I lived on the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good.
Okay.
Now, there's a caveat.
And what
there's a caveat there.
Mm-hmm.
The caveat is for those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose.
Don't we get confused?
God will.
We start thinking. Wait a minute, are we saying that it is his purpose that we wind up in a position that we bleed, we cry, we wind up in positions of destitution? But I'm going to go to another place on that in a second, but this is part of God's plan for us to suffer.
It is part of the evil of earth. And Satan's taking over his place when Adam and Eve sinned, that in Ephesians, our struggle is not against flesh and bone, flesh and blood. It is against the evil spirits and the powers of the wicked and the principalities. They actually have geographical areas that they're in charge of. And they are trying to...
Enough, though.
Mm-hmm. And, well, what happens is that God tells us to be courageous and strong, and he gave us armor. We're not unprotected, and he's told us to fight the good fight, and he told us to count on him, because he is strong, and nothing is bigger than God. God is majestic. There is nothing that is bigger, and no one that is bigger than him. So any trial is going to end up putting us in a situation that we never would have been in. And it's going to be of some benefit that you never would have thought of.
You know, and you know, I have to remind people a lot of times, don't try to think like God, because while we may be made in his image, but we are not God, okay? Because when you talk about certain things, we have room.
Our minds are so little. We're little human minds. Yes.
Yeah. You know, there was a young man that I knew. He was running with some friends. They were trying to beat a train, and he wound up tripping, and he fell on the tracks, and it cut off his legs from the ankle on down. He just barely made it, and he lived, though. And he was going, see, why me? Why do I have to, you know, he had a potential to be a great football player or whatever the case might have been. And he felt like his life has been ruined. However, he's a very strong minister now in New York City. And mentors people. He takes a collective group of people who are what we call disabled. And they go and do have acted bad and gotten themselves in trouble. And they listen to them make all kinds of excuses on why they did whatever it was that they did. And then they say, well, if you think that you had an excuse and you were able-bodied, I have a good excuse too. Maybe I should start robbing banks or you know, robbing people. And they go, well, yeah, you got a good excuse. And then the group turns around, no, we don't. None of us have one. This is the hand that we were dealt with, and we can find the blessing in it if we really just look. You know, so
absolutely.
As you address
absolutely
that answer, we do a quick commercial, and I'm going to be coming right back to you. Okay.
Perfect.
Again, our show is being brought not only by GRC and Connected with Communities, but Flashback Academy, where what we do is help get our disabled, our veterans, as well as our former foster care youth off of the street into a safe haven where they can learn a vocational skill and be able to gain the work experience to compete in today's complex technical society. Although everything doesn't have to be so technical, because sometimes it's just people being real people. We are also starting a fund, I'm announcing today, that donations will be used for addressing the issue of homelessness. And what we're going to be doing is a little bit different, because what I looked at was too often people say, well, they can come and share a room. I was at a guy's house the other day. He offered a young lady a room. He had six or seven other people living in different parts of the home, whether it be on a couch here, another room there. But it was so very clear that he was taking advantage of that. He was an attorney. If I remembered his name, I'd throw him out here, okay? But what I saw that he did was he was abusing the people, every one of them in there. One lady who was in the middle of the day, her hair, head covered, wouldn't get up, place was dark and gloomy. And I'd gone by there with another young lady, and I'll protect her anonymity to the day that I die. He said, you can come stay here. She goes, but there's no more room. Oh, no, your bed will be right there, which was adjacent to a couch that sleep on. So, therefore, the lady had no privacy, and we can just imagine. So, what we're going to do in our fund is to help our women, families, regain their dignity by raising the funds for first and last, establish a different means of income for them so that they can sustain and be able to take care of themselves. It's not enough to give them a room or a place to lay down their head, okay, because if it's in a shack or a place that is so vulnerable, we've actually done more harm than we could call helping. So our fundraiser is long today. We're going to be sending checks for money orders to our P.O. Box, which was 11432 South Street in Cerritos, California. For those who want to do it off of a PayPal that couldn't remember, go to PayPal and type in flashbks@gmail.com, and it will go specifically to that particular fundraiser. And we will continue to target families. And, you know, the last piece before we jump back into our show, there are certain support programs for women with children.
Yes.
Men, now they come out and they wind up in a little flophouse hotel and so forth. But the big question is, well, what happens with single women? Whether they had
right.
a kid, didn't have a kid, married or not married. But there is really no recourse for them other than putting them in a compromising position to set them up for abuse, too. And, you know, this is my bandwagon. I celebrate and advocate for those who don't have a voice. That's what Grassroots Talks is really all about. So hopefully you will, you out there will share that information, those links, so that we can start helping a lot of the folks. We may get a testimonial, but we won't put people's names out there. We will never embarrass them with that, because sometimes the pain and the things that are the persecution of this is so painful, and it's embarrassing. When they're ready to share their testimonial with someone, maybe not on an open forum like this all across the world, but on an individual level to be able to assist our young people to avoid some of those pitfalls, that would be great. Now, back to our show. Dr. Margaret ran this show.
Yeah.
And we're looking at four minutes before we go on. And let's continue on with the why me persecution.
Okay. I just want to make two really quick points that I think are very thought-provoking, and then people might have time to ask questions and call in. Number one, if you call yourself a Christian, then you should be a doer of the word and not a hearer of the word only. And you should be practicing feeding the orphans and taking care of the widows and giving and loving and dying to yourself and becoming alive to Christ and being in the world but not of the world, and not be full of the corruption of the world and the material possessions to make you look great like you're such a good Christian. And you should not be honking your horn in the parking lot after church so you can be on your way to brunch at the Beverly Hilton or someplace, you know, and forget about God. That's number one.
Go ahead. Keep going. You're doing good.
Number two is, if you call yourself a Christian and you're not being persecuted for it, there's a problem there. If you're not suffering trials, if trials don't come your way, if the devil isn't giving you problems, then guess what? You're not a problem to him. And shouldn't that make you think maybe you're part of his world and he's really happy with you watching porn on TV when your wife isn't around? And maybe he's really happy because you hide your wine and your bourbon in your office and you drink it every night when nobody's looking. Because James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, to 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad, said, "Consider it all a joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And you don't become a marathon runner by sitting around drinking martinis. God wants us to be marathon runners. So you just take those trials and you praise God in the middle of those trials and you sing praises. I have a whole playlist of great, fantastic Christian songs. And you call those things that be not as though they were, and you use your faith, and God will bless you. And that is a law of the universe that God made.
Wow. You know, as we minister on this global forum, our global church, I'm really glad that you went there, because if you notice the tone in me, I'm angry. I'm in a place that people, we are the greatest nation on earth, and we jail more people. There are more than there are people in a particular country, that we execute people at such an alarming rate, or we lock up our children rather than, but we call this rehabilitation, okay? I've got some issues with that, but right now, because I need to stay focused with this issue of not providing for our tax-paying citizens the things and the tools that they need. So that campaign, I would request that you let your social media know, no, we're going to give people their dignity back by raising funds to be able to get them a place where they will be comfortable to live, call home, and they got their own key not to be kicked out. So anybody out there who has a home that they're going to be able to quick deed, donate it to our nonprofit, or help us raise money so that people can be able to live and not just day by day, but to be able to project the future. Because there's some very, very talented people that I've met along the way, from Skid Row to just any old particular role, and people look down. I was with a colleague the other day, and our discussion was about some of the big churches. You know, some people get very, very stuck. They're looking really, really sharp. And you wonder, are you trying to look good for God, or are you trying to look good for who else might be looking at you in there? Or because the other celebrity church. But the thing that I think struck my colleague and I was that when these people walk out of their church, if there was a homeless person sitting on the steps, they would step over or around them to avoid that. And I found that to be extremely appalling.
Yes. The things that we look at and turn our hearts against when Jesus said, if you help one of the least of these, you're helping me. And I love that song that says, what if God was one of us?
What's the name of it again?
What if God was one of us? What if God was one of us? It's a really compelling song.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you to host from across this big state, city, country, wherever you wind up, your journeys are moving you to. From time to time, if you have one of those songs to share on your show, I'd like to encourage that because people learn and receive information from different places from time to time.
Absolutely.
My mouth a lot.
Absolutely.
But also thanks for acknowledging that. But at the same time, there's a quiet. They call it dead air in the field. But that silence sometimes is not an uncomfortable silence. It's a time to be, to let God in. Sometimes it's hard to listen while we're running out anyway. So with that, I need you to prepare to do your closing monologue so we can get on with the rest of our day. Move this issue of persecution to the side.
Okay, perfect. Persecution. Christ was persecuted. And he told us that if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted too. So expect it. Anticipate it. Prepare for it. The best way to prepare for it is with the Word of God. You put on the full armor of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We gird our loins with the truth. We walk with the sandals of the preparation of peace. And we have a big shield of God and his faith. And all of those are defensive weapons that are able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil, who is working in the spiritual realm and in our minds to cause confusion, doubt, depression, and just mess with our heads. Instead, you open your mouth and you say, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. And you learn the verses. And you take your sword of the Spirit, which is your only offensive weapon. This sword of the Spirit, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce through bone and marrow. Normally, these days, we would take an electric saw to do that. This sword that God gave us is the Word of God. All we have to do is learn it, open our mouths and say it, speak it to the air and to the evil spirits and watch them flee and say the name of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus covers your children and your parents and your house, and they will run away. And they will go back to their masters and say, don't ever send me to that house again. because I've talked and I've listened to satanic worshipers who have those evil spirits come back to them saying, don't ever send me back to that house again. That's a Jesus house. So the word of God is our weapon. And our keep, we have to keep our swords sharpened. Number one, where is your sword? Where's your Bible? Where's your verses? What can you say out loud? Sharpen it. Learn the word of God. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Period. Doesn't matter what happens, God's going to make it turn out for good. Period. Romans 8:28. And short.
Now, for those of you who are listening to our show today, you're probably noticing that it's taking on a different tone. I will not apologize for that tone, because sometimes we know that if people have said, well, God is a jealous God. To be jealous, sometimes there's a certain animosity or anger that goes along with that. And if the host and the co-host, we seem to be a tad bit taken back by the lack of action. As Reverend Orlando said, if you claim to be a Christian, but you do not.
Right.
And,
Christ will say, I never knew you. I never knew you. You didn't give to the poor. You didn't feed the orphans. He's going to say, I never knew you.
Yeah. Well, so for all of you folks, if you can assist us, and let's start providing, working together to provide decent homes for
let's
our
change
people.
That. Yes.
You know, the city decided that they wanted to do a campaign to raise several millions of dollars. They had no idea where it was coming from, but when we looked closer, it was because there's an election coming up and it looks good. Okay.
Right.
We sit around waiting for politicians to do anything. So send your check or your money order to the address that was listed earlier. And before I go, I got to pay attention and acknowledge those who are listening on the internet that doesn't pop up on our studio monitoring system. But those of you who were on the line even before I got here, I want to thank you folks for coming on.
Thank you.
I know you didn't raise time to talk, but you was there listening and you hung in there. Hopefully you will share other people. And if you do have a question, go ahead and write us at flashbcast@gmail.com and let us know what you're thinking. And I guarantee you I will put that comment on the air so long as it's appropriate, decent, or in order. And if it ain't, I'll clean it up and still make your feelings be known. With that, I want to wish you folks a wonderful day. Remember, sometimes the whole world's a stage, but it's all about the part that you play. But about being a hypocrite, which is, I look forward to chatting with you. Thank you again, Reverend Aranda, for being on our show.
My pleasure. And I'm at drmargaretaranda.blogspot.com. And I'll put the donation information up there and the What If God Was One of Us song as well. drmargaretaranda.blogspot.com, and that will be for anyone to see. And I'll tweet it out,
what?
Too. It's my, I'm at Medibasket, okay. M-E-D-I, Basket, B-A-S-K-E-T. That's my handle on Twitter. And I'll just come join the band, and let's get this party rolling.
You know, and many of the nobody cares. We'll continue to walk the walk. Have a great and a blessed and wonderful day.
Amen. Thank you all.